All right, we are back on the record after our lunch break. It is 1:20 in the afternoon on the CEPA-S DAP appeal for the hotel appeal. Let's see. I think we were going to testimony of Ms. Hertzstein. Is that correct? And Mr. Green, I think you were the one who was calling her to the stand. Is that correct?
This is Isaac Patterson for the
Oh,
primary.
sorry. Okay, Mr.
I'm actually going to
Patterson.
be calling Ms. Hertzstein, and I
Okay.
mispronounced it last time. So.
Oh, okay. Right. So let's see, Ms. Hertzstein, do we have you? If we can bring
She's
her
in
up as
yours,
a
and
panelist.
yeah, I'm going to promote her to a panelist right now. So
Okay.
you should see her pop up in just a second.
All right. There you are. Good afternoon, Ms. Hertzstein, and welcome back. I swear you in for your original testimony, so you remain under oath. Mr. Patterson, you may proceed when you are ready. And I guess let me just check. There's no procedural issues we need to address before we go direct into this testimony, correct? Okay.
Nothing from our end.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Patterson, you may proceed.
Ms. Harrison, thank you for joining us again. I have just a few questions to wrap up. We heard your testimony a couple days ago at this point. So I wanted to get your review on a few issues that on stuff that we've heard over the course of the past couple days. My first question, and hopefully you heard the testimony regarding the ITE land use category definitions and which is the appropriate fit for the project. And you had mentioned in your direct testimony on the first day that you chose to apply land use category 311, which was all suites hotel. And we heard an explanation on why 10W switched its analysis from using 311 as you did earlier on the process, and why it switched to using 312 in its supplemental analysis. I wonder if you could elaborate on why you went with your decision, using the new definitions, and respond to the assertion that with the change in the ITE definitions, 312 would be a better fit.
Yes. So we looked at the two definitions. The testimony yesterday talked about that the 312 changed from business hotel to limited service hotel. A limited service hotel was talked about does not have a restaurant. The definition for all suites hotel has not changed between the two editions of IT. An all suites hotel has a small restaurant, small amount of reading and meeting space. To me, this means that those aren't the primary uses, but the all suites hotel has rooms which have a sitting room, a separate bedroom, and an in-room kitchen. And it's my understanding that the Wood Springs Hotel would have this type of arrangement in the rooms. And for this reason, that's why the all suites seems appropriate in our opinion.
Another statement that we heard during testimony was that there was no way to consider the extended stay nature of the hotel just because it's not listed in the definition of this. When you're evaluating the fit of a use within these ITE categories, would you consider the extended stay nature of a hotel, particularly regarding parking?
Yes, the behavior of guests related to extended stay would likely be different than a typical hotel, which has guests that stay of a shorter duration. The cars would be parked longer for an extended stay, and there could be in and out related to people leaving the property for work or meals. Also there could be more activity where they stay longer and maybe they walk or use transit to their nearby destination. So I think different from a kind of a general hotel where people stay shorter and they probably move their car more frequent. In this case, you may have cars that are parked there for a longer duration.
We've heard several people talk about the proximity of a hospital to the proposed site. And several comments mentioning that people would be using the hotel, whether they were working at the hospital or patients at the hospital, that sort of thing. Assuming that close proximity, would we expect the use of parking spaces by people doing that to, would they be occupying parking spaces longer than a typical hotel guest?
Yes, I would expect, given the proximity of the hotel, that users may drive to the site and just leave their car and walk to the hospital. Given that it's so close, it's likely inconvenient to drive your car for such a short trip. So I would expect that the proximity would influence parking where folks drive to the site, especially you might have travel nurses and they're coming in for a longer duration. So they drive to the hotel and just leave their car. And when they go to work, they m might just walk.
I want to keep on the theme of the categories. Could I please ask the clerk to bring up Exhibit B5 and go to, I believe it's page 3, where table 1 is.
One moment. You should see it on your screen momentarily, and I'll zoom in as well.
I can see it. That looks great. Can you see it, Ms. Stephanie? Can you see
Yeah.
it? Okay. Earlier, Ms. Raymond was asking some questions about this table 1 that we're looking at. And I wanted to draw your attention to the line. I think it's a second up from the bottom on table 1 that says weekday parking rate. Yep. That highlighted one right there. Can you describe what that is, or can you explain what that is describing based on this page of the document? What is weekday parking rate related to?
It's describing on average how many vehicles are parked per room on the weekday for each of these land use categories based on the ITE parking generation manual.
One of the county's theories that we've heard and the applicant appears to share is that this project should have reduced parking because it's a limited service hotel and falls within LUC 312. Without opining on whether or not 312 is the correct decision, looking at this information in the table, does it make sense that a limited service hotel would require fewer parking spaces than a generic hotel that would be falling within category 310.
Just based on this table, I would say that a general hotel would require less parking.
Okay. Thank you. One of the other things that we've talked about is kind of the county's review of internal circulation or lack of review, that sort of thing. That's contested. I just wanted to get you to describe what would, if someone were to, someone in your field were to fully investigate internal circulation impacts, what would be the steps that they would go through?
Well, for this site, given that it's a master plan, you would look at the circulation patterns for all of the uses on site. So, what is the circulation for vehicles, pedestrians, bikes for the hotel? But also, how do those interact with the circulation for the office and credit union uses? Where are the conflict points? And also, you may consider what are the traffic demands for those uses and how those interact.
Have you been able to listen in on the entirety of the hearing?
Yes.
Based on what you've heard, was there any information similar to what you just described that the county would have been able to review prior to issuing its decisions?
The only information that I heard was about the circulation patterns of the hotel. I didn't see any evaluation of those, how those conflicted or interacted with the other uses. And there was information provided yesterday on the volumes and some of that interaction, but that does. Yesterday, it was mentioned that that was provided in response to the hearing and not something the county saw prior.
Okay. There was a point of disagreement regarding whether or not to include the striped spot places, the striped parking places on the southernmost parcel of the business park. Does their inclusion or exclusion move your analysis one way or another as that you've presented at, in this hearing?
No.
I guess my last question is, having heard all of the testimony that we've heard, is there anything that you would change regarding your analysis and your opinions that you've testified to at the hearing?
No.
Those are all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the other appellants before we move to cross?
No, none.
Okay. All right. So, any cross-examination questions?
None from the applicant.
Okay.
None from the county, thanks.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. Hertzstein. Is it Hertzstein or Hertzstein?
Hertzstein.
Hertzstein. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. Hertzstein, for your testimony this afternoon. So I guess from the appellants, are there any additional rebuttal witnesses?
None from the primary appellant.
None from us either.
Okay. All right. And is there anyone further to address that testimony, or have we concluded witness testimony?
No more testimony from the applicant.
Okay. And I assume Mr. Walker, none from the county as well, is that correct?
No, thank you.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We have completed witness testimony for this proceeding. So I think there are a few procedural questions. One, the parties had asked about closing argument. And I had concluded that it's closing briefing rather than or closing oral arguments would make sense. I guess we'd address that on day one. Having heard everything, I think that still remains the case, that that would be helpful to me. Have the parties kind of changed their positions on that, or is that the thing continues to be the same thinking?
No change on our end.
Same.
No change.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we, unless there are any other procedural issues we need to address, why don't we go ahead to scheduling that? Did you all want to submit briefing all at once or a staggered schedule? What would be the appropriate approach?
Ms. Examiner, for the applicant, I will say that we spoke offline, and I appreciate the other parties being willing to discuss. Our request would be for successive briefing that the appellant submit closings, and then the applicant and the county have the opportunity to respond. There was some question about whether the appellants would then have the opportunity for a reply brief, which we would oppose, as these are, closing statements and not a motion. And it's our experience that a closing by the party with the burden of proof and then a closing by the respondent is sufficient.
Any appellants have a response on that?
We do. We would disagree with that approach. I mean, it would be unusual in my view to have the appellants not get the final word in briefing. So we would prefer either opening brief, response brief, and reply brief from the appellants, or single simultaneous submittal. I don't think it would be appropriate for the applicant and the county to have the final word in this type of proceeding.
And Mr. Wachter, do you have a position on the briefing schedule?
I tend to, well, I'd like to, I promote all the briefs being filed at one time, and that way we all have the final word.
Okay.
And
And I know you had preferred oral argument at the outset, so I know that was your initial preference.
well, that ship has sailed. So,
Yeah, I know. I just want to acknowledge that.
and I hope you'll consider page limits.
Yeah, absolutely. So given this is an appeal, it does make sense, and I have certainly done this on many occasions where the appellants present their argument, the applicant county responds. And then I think a short reply is reasonable, not to address new arguments, but to address anything that comes up in the kind of response. And that, of course, would be a shorter brief. It's not unusual for me to kind of stagger briefing in that fashion. So I think we'll do it that way. So I'll address page limits at the outset or after we address kind of deadlines and so forth. And so I guess then the first question, if the appellants are filing first, when should that occur?
I don't know if Ms. Raymond has thoughts about timing. I think we could certainly have a sort of opening version of the closing brief within a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I was just looking at my calendar. We would be fine with at most a couple of weeks. Yeah, it less than that would be okay with us too, but a week or two would be preferable.
Okay, so 2 weeks would be, I think today's the 26th, so that would be September 9. Does that work for the parties?
That works for us.
It does, thank you.
So then the next question would be for the applicant and county, the response on that.
2 weeks after that, the 23rd would make sense to us.
Okay, Mr. Wachter, is that all right?
That's fine, thanks.
Okay. All right. And then a short reply, maybe a week after that from the appellants.
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks.
That works, thank you.
Okay, so that would be the Wednesday the 30th. So, okay, so those are the dates, September 9, 23, and 30. And then how do the parties feel about what's appropriate page limits? Sometimes a party sort that on their own, and when I haven't specified, they actually have done pretty well, but I think there's been a request for page limits, and that's reasonable. So not unusual to have that.
I'll say for the applicant, we will keep it as short as we can, but there are a large number of claims, several of which are legal in nature, that will require some space to address. So we'd request up to 20 pages.
And the party's okay with that, and for 20 pages on so this would be each of the like the appellants, I guess 2020, and then we'll set a different one on the reply. But so if you're both the appellants and then the applicants, would there would be a tw page limit of 20?
I think that would work for us.
That
I don't
works
know about
for
Ms.
us. Okay.
Raymond.
I'm seeing nods on that, so let's go with
Yes.
that. And then so on the reply, 10 maybe.
Yep.
Yes, thank you.
Ten at most, please.
Okay. All right. So 2020 and 10. All right. I don't think there's a need to put that in order, but I mean, I can send out an email if the parties want that in writing, but we certainly have this record. So I think we've got agreement on the schedule. So we'll just leave it at that. Let's see. And yeah, the briefs, just email those to the clerk. And then, yes, Ms. Jones, and she will forward those on to me.
Yes, and I will let the parties know that I will no longer be the clerk after the 4th of September, but before my departure, I will ensure that you have contact information for an interim contact to send those to. So.
Thank you. Appreciate you noting that, Ms. Jones. Yeah. So, oh, I did want one before I forgot. I just want to make sure on the county exhibits, I want to verify with the parties that these are the ones that we've admitted. C 22, C 50, C 46, and C 64. So a total of four. Is that correct?
I think that tracks with my notes.
That's everything I had as well. Same.
Okay. All right. And then the other ones we admitted at the outset, the F1 through F53, and then A1 through A6 for the appellant, and then B1 through B15 through the applicant. So I think that covers the exhibits. All right. Any other procedural questions, issues we need to sort before we sign off?
Nothing on our end.
Nope. Okay. All right. We've concluded. Thank you all very much for the professionalism from all parties. I was impressed with that. So I very much appreciate that and appreciate all the testimony and everything. I think it was kept well organized and on the issues before me. I know there were some concerns about jurisdictional scope and all that, but I think, the parties were focused on what is before me. So I appreciate that. So I think that's it. So thank you all again for your appearances. We are adjourned.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you very much.